Merry Christmas. In these gospel stories, we're hearing about this coming of a Savior, one who we read is going to free the people from their sins, a glorious King, the King of Kings. So, 2,000 years ago, I wonder, freeing people from their sins, what were these sins that were to be freed from? And in other parts of this story, in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew, we read about John the Baptist asking the people to turn away from their sins, from their greed, from their desires for more, tells the tax collectors not to collect for themselves, not to be selfish, tells the soldiers, don't falsely accuse anybody. Many things that we know from the Ten Commandments. And in the very first gospel reading, we hear that this was a time of darkness, a deep darkness. And I think about that, and I think about the very beginning of this book that we call this Bible, this wonderful book from God. There was a time when God walked among the people. People named as Adam and Eve, but the humankind that was present on earth, God made present with them, walking in the cool of the garden, in the shade of the trees. So what happened? There was a time of light with God's presence, and then, we know what happened. We got kicked out of paradise and began a time of searching, of seeking, when God was no longer in that presence and in that midst. There was the toiling of the earth, and as we do today, the work we have to do, waiting in traffic, getting in lines, doing the jobs that we might or might not like, the responsibilities of life. Holidays bring their own dynamics, families coming together in many wonderful ways, but also opportunities of growth. But I mean to remind us of the reality that we get busy and caught up with some of these dynamics and these toils and these responsibilities of life. They're wonderful and they're necessary because this is part of our experience of being human as we're challenged by what we're capable of, our limits. But this was a time of darkness, and so God sent Jesus to earth. God came to us as and through Jesus in order to remind us about this opportunity to continue to seek God, to look for God, in the midst of all of the responsibilities and the challenges that we do. And so I can't help but think of this as some kind of hide-and-seek game. You know, how many of you actually like playing hide-and-seek? All right, all you kids, definitely raise your hands. All right, any adults here? I'm sure there's some more adults that love to play the game too. My kids were just playing this a few days ago. But I can't think about how in the beginning we were all together and then there was a time of hiding. And it's almost as if this time of darkness was a time of forgetfulness. When, yes, we were seeking God at points of lives, but yet then became forgetful. Forgot about this game of trying to find God, to search for God, to look for God. We're just getting caught up in the responsibilities and the regular routines of our lives. The opportunity slowly passes us by as we kind of drift into a slumber of forgetfulness. And when my son recently asked me about, on the way to school, this end of the earth, you know, and I was explaining that it's at a time when there's a lot of darkness, and that's a time when we begin to forget about who we are and what we're about and why we're here on this earth. Forgetting God in the responsibilities and in the midst of all the tasks that we do, seeing them in the eyes of the ones we're looking at. So, in the beginning, we had this hide-and-seek game, if you will, perhaps, where we went and had to go and seek God. But having forgotten, God sent Jesus to come down and say, okay, remember this game. Some of you may have forgotten It's very simple. Come and look, and you will find. And in that midst, Jesus came and stood there and says, I am here. It's almost like God saying, standing in 2,000 years ago, saying, Ali, Ali, oxen, free, free, free. Oh, I never knew what that meant. But, Jesus was calling everybody out into the open. The root of the word sin means to, in Aramaic, means to bind, to become bound, and in a sense, trapped. So if you will, we become trapped, we become caught in the cogs of our lives and these routines and responsibilities that are necessary, but yet they are not the end. They are a means. And so when Jesus calls everybody out, many people came out. Many people came to open and receive. And many didn't. But now 2,000 years later, that message is still here, calling us out of our hiding places. The places where we might have become a little comfortable, because it's pretty scary in this world sometimes with all of the darkness that we look around and see. We read the papers, we see the news. And like Jun Chul was referring to, as we hear about in Newtown, it just rips your heart. So the wars in Syria, you look around, it's everywhere, and it's pretty scary. And yet, the opportunity, the reality is still such that God is calling us to become free, free, free. To come out of the places where we find ourselves. We look around and we think, God, where are you? I'm searching, but I don't see you, per se. Yet we know this is God's creation, and God is abundant throughout it all. I wonder, though, who is seeking whom? Yes, we're seeking God. But God sent Jesus to earth. God came down to earth as Christ. So there is clearly some part of God that is seeking us, calling us out of any closets that we might find ourselves hidden behind. Afraid to be the full expression of who we feel drawn to be. Our natural self. That sometimes as kids, we have to kind of slowly cover up in order to adjust to the friends, the dynamics of those around us. And the experiences that life brings us. It's an opportunity to let go of the fears we have. To remember who we are called to be. In the freest way. With a love that is given in our hearts. God is seeking us, continues to look for us. This is a game of hide and seek where I don't know who's seeking who, but both, perhaps, are seeking each other. God is standing in our midst, but if we can't see God, what is it that is covering us and keeping our eyes from being able to behold the gloriousness that is right in front of us? There's a story of one of these three wise men, the one who was bringing gold to Jesus. And in anticipation, he had a dream that says that there was a star that was going to be born in the west. And so this king was in anticipation. And one of the things about this king was that he had a long beard. As a wise man, he was very proud of his long, wise beard. And he often would keep his hands holding that beard and twisting the hairs of it. And his son had a dream. And that next morning he said to his father, he said, I had a dream, and in this dream I was told, you're not to go find this King of Kings and to offer him your gift, because you're too worried about your beard. The king listens to dreams. He's a very wise soul. And so he said, oh my gosh, this is keeping me from being open to what is important for this mission, this journey. So he promptly thanked his son, went into the bathroom, and shaved off his beard. So a few weeks go by, and the days are approaching when the king is anticipating going west. And that night, his son has another dream. And the next morning, he promptly goes to his father and tells his father, the king, I had another dream. You're not to go to see this child, this King of Kings. Because you're too worried about the beard you've cut off. Well, that's my punchline. So the king got the message to bring gold, to bring this heart of love. Sometimes we get caught up in the minuscule things of our lives, what we look like, our clothes, what we're wearing, how we're perceived by others, what others think of us, and we forget that the real gold is our hearts. The real gold is that within us. That love that seeks to be born, as we read about in our worship program. Dear God, we come together this night seeking your birth into our hearts and lives. And if we look at what Jesus did in the stories of Jesus, we read about Jesus as one who would go off to be alone to pray, to be alone with his heart, with his soul. And that is the invitation for us as a way of coming out into the open. It begins with allowing ourselves to feel like this divine child that we seek to be born inside of us. It involves being vulnerable. And as we know from our children and the experience of little children, being vulnerable means willing to be hurt, willing to cry, to be laughing and joyful, and sometimes do silly things and bounce around and, you know, just be a kid in a way. But it allows us to be expressive of the energy and the love that fills our hearts and our souls, that seeks its expression through our bodies and our beings. And sometimes the layers of life have kind of become too thick. We've become a little too comfortable behind some locked doors, and God is still calling us out into the open and into the recesses, the deeper parts of our soul that God meets with us. So on this Merry Christmas Eve, I invite you to leave here with the invitation that God continues to call us. Let go of some of the things that occupy our minds, kind of cloud up our hearts, and to come out free, free, free. Amen.